This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Markets feel the bailout buzz.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Markets in Europe and Asia are riding high this morning on new signals from the federal government that a bailout will happen for the U.S. auto industry. A $14 billion rescue plan died in the Senate last week, and now the White House looks poised to take action. Thought we'd check in with our very own Alisa Roth in New York to get the latest. Alisa, what's the White House saying?
Well, the White House has been saying since last week when the loan package failed in Congress, it's been saying that it will do something. And Bush is saying that an abrupt bankruptcy would be devastating for the industry and for the economy. So it's pretty clear that something will happen. The real question is what? And there are a couple of possibilities. One is the automakers could get access to some of the Treasury Department's financial bailout. Another thing that's being tossed around are a series of short-term loans that would basically get the automakers to January when President-elect Obama and the new Congress come in and take over. A third option that's been talked about would be a prearranged bankruptcy. So not an abrupt bankruptcy, but sort of set it all up and take care of it that way.
What is the holdup?
The big holdup is really trying to figure out how much the car companies need. Chrysler and GM are the ones who need the money. Ford says that it actually has enough money to last at least for a couple of months. But the White House experts apparently spent the weekend looking over the books and trying to figure out exactly how much money will do it. And the estimates, again, are ranging from something like $10 billion to $40 billion. So just figuring out how much money we're talking about, I think, is probably the biggest hurdle.
Right, because I know that GM has said that it won't be able to last out the year. When do you think we can expect to see some bailout help from D.C.?
The White House says soon. The clock is obviously ticking, and everybody's very aware of the clock ticking. But it sounds like it probably won't be today. I would guess that before the week is out, we'll have a pretty solid sense of what's going to happen.
Well, I'm sure we will talk to you more then. Marketplace's Alisa Roth, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
There may be mixed feelings on Capitol Hill, but the markets are sure excited about a possible bailout. Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.2% on bailout hopes. And today, Tokyo's Nikkei Index added 5.25%. London's FTSE is up 0.8%. Germany's DAX is up 1.5%. Fallout from the housing market crash continues. A report out this morning from real estate website Zillow.com found more than 11 million Americans are now underwater on their mortgages, meaning they now owe more on their homes than those homes are worth. The report estimates U.S. homes will lose $2 trillion worth of value this year. Some good news for renters, though. Fannie Mae is finalizing a policy that would let tenants stay in their homes even if their landlord goes into foreclosure. That policy could take effect early next month.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com. And by Clarkson Potter, publishers of The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, a holiday gift idea for people who love to eat, now available at splendidtable.org.
The Federal Reserve meets today and tomorrow to discuss another interest rate cut. Rate cuts are supposed to help spur lending in the economy, but here's the thing. The rate is 1% right now, and the Fed's expected to cut it in half. That would be a record low and pretty darn close to zero. So what does Uncle Sam do when it's lowered rates all it can and the credit markets still aren't moving? Quantitative easing, that's what. And it's the topic of our latest Marketplace Decoder. Marketplace's Stephen Beard explains quantitative easing and looks at how the Fed could use this little-known monetary tool.
This is the last monetary wrench in the Fed's toolbox, the nuclear option. Economist Andrew Hilton says quantitative easing is what you do to get people borrowing and spending after everything else has failed.
What it is an attempt by central banks to pump liquidity into the system, even when interest rates are close to zero.
Lowering short-term interest rates is usually the way to increase money supply. But when central banks can't cut rates any further, they can turn to quantitative easing. They can print a lot more money and spend billions buying long-term government bonds. That floods the economy with extra cash, and it pushes long-term interest rates lower.
That will bring down borrowing costs for mortgages and corporate loans.
Graham Turner is with GFC Economics.
You're trying to do this to stop people defaulting. We absolutely need to move towards this kind of policy.
But some economists, like Andrew Hilton, are distinctly uneasy about quantitative easing.
We are now up to our knees in liquidity, up to our knees in cash. This kind of shift of policy will mean that we're up to our waists in cash. And who knows what's going to happen 2 or 3 years down the line. It is perfectly possible that we could have double-digit inflation.
Too much cash chasing too few goods, pushing up prices. The textbook definition of inflation. But supporters of quantitative easing say deflation, falling prices leading to mass bankruptcies and unemployment. That's the real danger.
Let's get out of the hole we're in before we worry about the next hole along the road.
Former British central banker Charles Goodhart says since rock-bottom interest rates have failed to spur spending in the States and the UK, the case for quantitative easing will soon be overwhelming.
It's not normal, it's not standard, but if you've got yourself into the kind of financial and economic crisis that our countries have, it is actually what you have to do.
But critics say there's no guarantee that quantitative easing will work. It still may not solve the fundamental problem, the lack of trust and therefore lending between banks. And as the recession deepens and the banks grow more fearful of default, trust seems as elusive as ever. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You can check out all of our decoders online. There's LIBOR, OTC, after-hours trading. Hey, you'll be the hit of the cocktail party. Just go to our website, marketplace.org, and click on the decoder. And if there's a term you'd like to hear, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.